tell you how many times I've heard this phrase toward the end of the year: I'll be glad when 2024 is over. How many of you are glad it's over? Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad too. You know, so many people are ready for something new, a clean slate, a fresh start, a new day. Now, I'm reminded of a song that I remember growing up. It was one of my favorite bands. I don't know if many of you know them, but REO Speedwagon was one of my favorite bands. Still like their music. Have to bleep out some of the language every now and then, but the tune and most of the lyrics are not too bad. But they did a song called Roll With The Changes. And this line in particular is what I want to bring out. If you are tired of the same old story, turn some pages. If you are tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Now, it's a simple but profound statement, but that's what we're going to do this month. We're starting a new chapter. The old is gone, the new is upon us. And listen, this is what God said to Isaiah. Isaiah 43:19. For I, this is God speaking, I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? It's going to take eyes of faith. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. One version said, I will create streams in the desert. Susan and I were watching a program, I think it was yesterday, and I don't remember everything about it, but it was a vast desert that you couldn't think anything at all could ever live there or even be prosperous there. But God is saying, no matter what, I can bring streams. I can bring refreshment. I can bring the impossible. That's important. I wonder how many of you are actually ready for something new. Well, if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. For the month of January, we're going to talk about four important lessons for the new year. Lessons that will help you start fresh. Lessons that will help you refocus. Lessons that will help you turn the page. Now, the first page in a new chapter, chapter 2025, is this. First things first, seek the kingdom of God. Amen. Seek the kingdom of God. Now, one of the most favorite pastimes for people these days is to worry, to have anxiety, to fret, to have undue concern about everything, about work, family, money, the future, health, weather, the world, you name it, it is commonplace. Now, my grandmother had a name for people that spent their time doing that, and maybe you've heard this before. She called them worrywarts. Anybody ever heard worrywart before? Well, worry and anxiety and fretting and under concern are the opposite of what God wants for his people. God wants peace. He wants faith. He wants trust. He toward him in all things. No matter what you're going through, you can turn the page. You don't have to stay there. You can turn the page. Jesus makes it plain that the way to live in his ways are to not worry. It's the opposite of the world says. The world says you got to fret over it. You got to worry about it. You've got to stew over it. You've got to be a worry wart. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I tell you to stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as it is what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap the harvest, nor gather the crops into the barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious. Be perpetually uneasy or distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. He knows it. Think about it. You don't even have to tell him. He knows it. And verse 33 says, but first and foremost, most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, which is his way of doing and being right, which is the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. In other words, don't be a worrywart. God is in control. God is able. God is strong. God is mighty. And you can trust God. Paul writes this in Romans 1, 16 and 17. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts him, starting with the Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives. One version says, the righteous shall live by faith. If we truly want to turn the page into a new chapter for 25, we must do things different in our life. You've all heard the definition of insanity. It's when we keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. But when we put God's ways first, it drives out worry. It drives out anxiety. It drives out stress. It drives out fret. It drives out undue concern. Plus, it builds our faith. It shines our shine. It increases our contagiousness. That's the new way to live that Jesus came for us to have. In order to turn the page for 25, we must grasp this truth once again. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus said, that they may have and enjoy life, have it to the abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Now, the enemy is a crafty one. He's the master of the counterfeit. He'll try to convince us that his way will bring forth the abundant life. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. Nothing that the enemy has for us will cause us to experience the abundant life, the life that Jesus came for us to have. The truth is that there's something in all of us that really desires this abundant life. But many times we look in the wrong places for it. We look to things in the natural. We look to things that we can make happen on our own. We look to others to make this happen. We look for shortcuts. We look for the easy way. We look at all the enemy's counterfeit measures. In fact, God sometimes is the last place we turn for the abundant life. Every one of us at times have been guilty of looking for the abundant life in all the wrong places. Jesus lays out a new way of living to his disciples in Matthew 5. And those are for us today as we start this new year. You see, Jesus wanted to change the mindset and the perspective of his followers so that they would be on the same page as he was in how to live a life glorifying God. And that same message that he has would come from us. It's really the roadmap to the abundant life. It's a shift in the traffic pattern for our lives that must happen if we're going to experience this abundant life that Jesus came for us to have and also to accomplish what he's asked us, what he's created us for. And we see them in Matthew chapter 5, and none of them make logical sense, but we're not asking you to use your logic. We're asking you to listen to the Word of God with the eyes of faith. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. The world would never say that, would they? With less of you there, there's more of God and his rule. You ever thought about that? When you're at your wit's end, there's more room for God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete and fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. That persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And not only that, count yourself blessed every time someone puts you down or throws you out or speaks lies about you to discredit me. This is Jesus speaking. What it means is that truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. You can give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do, Jesus says. And all of heaven applauds. And you know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have gotten into this kind of trouble. I wonder if we ever considered that the kind of trouble that God wants us in is to be so out there with the things of God that people will come against us. And they're really not coming against us. They're coming against God in us. Now, Susan and I took a few day trips over the holidays, and we saw when the Department of Transportation wanted to guide us into a new traffic pattern because of road work or some other issue, they would give us some advance notice as to what was going to happen. Now, usually there was nothing apparent at that moment that necessitated this change, leaving me with questioning it and even grumbling about why in the world are we having to do this. But finally, the way forward becomes apparent and it makes sense. Jesus gives us those advance notices too as we live our life for Him. And many times the reason isn't clear. But if we continue in the way of Jesus, as we put Him first, the way forward, it becomes apparent and actually starts making sense. See, if we put Him first, we will not lose. If we're going to make a difference in this world for Jesus, and that must be a priority for you and me, we must keep Him first. Yes. See, if He's not our first priority, then He will likely start slipping in priority until He's the last on the list. None of us want to make God last on the list. But as we keep putting things from the world in front of Him, that moves Him on down the line. He's not reduced in power, but we have reduced Him. You know, when something comes here, all of a sudden, whatever's left gets pushed back just a bit. And if you continually place things in front of Him, one day you'll look and say, wow, he's way back there. And God doesn't want to be way back there. He wants to be first. And everything inside of us wants us to be first. The sinful, fleshly nature we have is I want to be first. When I go to the DMV, I try not to, but when I have to go to the DMV, I take a number, and then I start looking at who they're calling now and how long my number is from that number. And I start being a worrywart. I forget who's in control of everything. All of a sudden, my mind and every one of my focus is on the natural. Yeah, the number is, they're calling number 5, and I'm number 105, and I know what that means, is I'm going to be here a bit. But if you remember when you were younger, we didn't have cell phones to play with while we were waiting. It's a lot easier to wait now, isn't it? But the moment someone that came in after you goes before you, you start to lose it, don't you? It starts unraveling. That's just a little detour that the Lord has given. And the reason for that you may not see immediately because you are probably going to go, at somebody that's doing that. But God wants you to trust Him. Bring God into the first place. Then it doesn't matter. You bring God into the problem, and then the problem doesn't matter. Does the problem cease to exist? No, I still had to wait on that person to go before me. But guess what? Something was done in my heart. When you take God for who He is and place Him front priority in your life, everything changes. So if you were tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Make God the priority. If He's not your first priority, you're going to allow Him to slip. But if He's your first priority, you will notice when something tries to encroach and take His place. There's something inside of you. The righteous spirit that He's placed inside of you begins to stand up. No, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that take place of my God, because He is first. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Colossae in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. That every detail in our lives, our words, our actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. What if these words were our goal this year? What if this was the change that you implement this year? What if this mandate was on the first page of chapter 2025? When you turn the page from 24, what if our driving force is that every detail in our lives, our words, our actions, or whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way? If you do that, then DOT can put a sign up and tell you there's a big detour and it won't even affect you, because every detail in your life, our words, our actions, everything is to be done in the name of our Master. Listen, maybe you're already doing this, and I would say bravo to you. But many of us need this chapter, need this reminder as we turn the page to start chapter 2025. Paul reminds the church of this truth in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. That one hurts to say, doesn't it? My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see in me, that life you see me living, is not mine. It is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I'm not going back on that. I am not going to turn the old pages again. I'm only going to go forward. Therefore, us making this same kind of declaration, we are turning the page for 2025, and we'll live our lives according to that. And as soon as you make that declaration, guess what happens? The enemy tries to tell you that you're not qualified, that you're not smart enough, that you're not strong enough, that you're not even loved enough to be able to accomplish that. But this is where knowing the Word of God is so important. You can fight the enemy with the Word of God. See, you can do this thing. You can make Jesus the first in your life. You can do that. because you're a child of God. That's John 1:12. You can do this because you are a branch of the true vine. John 15:1. You can do this because you're a friend of Jesus. John 15:15. You can do this because you are justified and redeemed. Romans 3:24. You can do this because you are not condemned by God. Romans 8:1. You can do this because you are free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. You can do this because you are a fellow heir with Christ. Romans 8:17. You can do this because you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can do this because you have been set free in Christ. Galatians 5:1. You can do this. You can silence the enemy because you are chosen, holy, and blameless. Ephesians 1:4. Listen, if you're tired of this same old story, turn the page. Keep the first thing first. Seek God's kingdom as you live for Him in 2025. In closing today, I want to remind you of the scripture we read earlier today, Matthew 6:33. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Let's turn the page and see what God can do. When we turn the page and make Him first, the sky's the limit. In fact, eternity is the limit. When we turn the page and we give Him full reign and place Him in the first place in our life above everything else that we value. And I'm not saying the rest of the stuff you value is not to be valued. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it can't be first. Because you, whatever's first is what you worship. I don't want to worship my motorcycle. I don't want to worship my convertible. I don't want to worship my wife. I don't want to worship those things. All those things are important to me. My wife particularly. She's ahead of the motorcycle. One step ahead of the motorcycle, but she's ahead. It's not that those are bad things, but who is number one? Seek first the kingdom of God. Let your words be in obedience to God in every response, in everything you do. And listen, we are going to blow it. We're just human. But the longer I walk with Jesus, the faster I realize I blew it. And the faster I lean upon His forgiveness. And I don't doubt that forgiveness. Early on as a Christian, I would doubt, does He really forgive? I don't struggle with that anymore. Where is God in your priority list? Where is God? If you're tired of the same old story, let's turn some pages. Let's place God front and center, number one. And when He gives you those directives that don't make a whole lot of sense, if you trust Him, they will. If you trust Jesus with everything you have, then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Think about that. When you're making a decision, consciously say, all right, Jesus, I'm placing you right here, front of the line. I don't want to think outside of your will. I don't want to speak outside of your will. I don't want to act or react or respond outside of your will. And I'll tell you what, if you will do that, you will sin far less. Will you be perfect? No. Not on this side of heaven. But if you do that, if you make Him number one, and I'm not saying that He's not number one to many of you, But also know what happens in the world. Things begin to take place. And all of a sudden we've moved Jesus a little bit down the line. He's still within eyeshot, but he needs to be number one. And then it won't matter to you if the DMV calls someone that got there after you ahead of you. It won't matter to you if someone cuts you off in traffic. It won't matter to you if someone gets the raise and you don't. It won't matter to you if calamity even comes, because our hope is not in things. Our hope is in him. The Bible said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. That is the first and the last. He's got everything under control. So why should we be a worrywart? We shouldn't. If we're a worrywart, we're not trusting God enough. Because God is bigger than anything we'll ever face. God is bigger than any situation, anything. The worst possible thing, that thing that you have dread has come upon you, is not bigger than God. Jesus is our hope. And he wants to give us an abundant life. He wants us to excel in the things of God. He wants us to concentrate and invest in the things of God. He wants us to prosper in the things of God. God wants to use you. He wants to use me to further his kingdom right here on this earth. He wants to use you. He wants. He doesn't have to, but he wants to, because he knows what will happen. If you are yielded to him and allow him to move and use you, what happens? Your faith is built. Your shine is shinier. And that whole contagious thing happens. And you're going to be a bright, shining star in this dark and depraved world as you hold out the way to live God with God. That's how we should start this year. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages and put Jesus number one in line. He's your default setting. He is your everything. He is your Lord and Savior. It's easy to say he's my Lord and Savior, but if he's your Lord, then you don't do anything without the Lord telling you to do it. We get confident in ourselves and we forget we've given him the lordship of our life. I think we all need to be reminded that he is our Lord. He loves us, and he loves us on our worst day. On our most unlovable day, Jesus loves us, and his love never changes and it never fails. And he has good things for his children. The Bible says he has good gifts. He will not withhold his good gifts to his children. He won't. Sometimes we figured out what those good gifts are. Might not be what he thinks are good. But we take his lead. When he changes the traffic pattern in our life, he doesn't change. The pattern may change, but he doesn't. We seek to please him above all. That should be our New Year's resolution. I want to seek to please Jesus in everything I do. And if you'll do that, your life, as you know it, will be transformed. Amen. You can clap. That's okay. So if you can walk away with anything today, walk away saying, I will not be a worrywart. If you're tired of the same old story, turn the page. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.